Good morning.
Good morning.
Who has not seen the Grinch? Yes. Yeah, that's all right. Honesty. Honesty. We're all judging you right now. Tyson, have you seen the Grinch?
Huh?
Exactly.
Parts.
Like that part. Hey, I'm like that. Oh, parts. Parts. Hey, well, welcome. Thanks for being here. We're in the third week of Christmas at the Movies this week with The Grinch. And hey, if you weren't here Friday night, you missed it. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how else to be kind to you. I don't know how else to not make you feel bad. Whatever it is that you were doing was definitely not as important as being here Friday night. And you just missed it. I mean, that's the bottom line. You just missed it. And so I could tell you stories and it's just going to make you feel worse, and you just missed it. But I'm sure you're busy and all that kind of stuff. So I have a friend named Tyson Ramsdell, and he's from Seattle. And 4 years ago, we had the opportunity to meet, and we brought him into one of our Christmas parties, and he came 2 years ago. And I said, hey, this year, we want you to come. We want you to be a part of what we're doing, but you have to bring your wife because she is... definitely the better of the halves, and I'm tired of just hearing stories, and quite honestly, I didn't believe that he was married at all, and so I needed to, that's a little too early, but okay, so we're definitely bros. I mean, we're definitely like the stepbrothers. I mean, we're definitely, what did someone say on Friday? I won't even say what they said, but somebody said something to Tyson. It was kind of mean, and I'm kind of proud of you at the same time. So, but anyway, so I want them to come, Tyson and his wife Eddie, and I want them to come up, and we're just going to talk for a little bit about kind of their story and what's happened in their lives the last year, and just God is using them to share their story, and it's an incredible story. And so, would you welcome Tyson and Eddie to the stage?
How are we doing, guys? We all sit here. I guess it's a good stool for me. Good high back. So, you guys loose, ready, excited? Okay, churches, we're going to have some fun, so we're going to talk a little bit. Like I said, my name's Tyson. You say we're kind of like brothers. Someone came up to me, like he said, we're wearing the exact same outfit, but we don't have the exact same build. And some, you can laugh at that. That's okay. It won't hurt me. Some of you like should I laugh or should I laugh at that part or no? But we don't. And someone came up and they said, I see what you guys are doing. He's kind of like pre-holidays and you're kind of after the holidays body. I was like, okay. A lot of nice people here in Columbia. So it kind of hurt my feelings, but that's okay. But I love this church. I got to be with you guys 4 years ago for a Christmas party back, and then I got to be here 2 years ago, and it was your guys' first ever service in this place, and I got to be here with you guys. That was so exciting. Things have changed a little bit. There's no more pews. That was a little bit upsetting because I grew up around pews, and we used to be able to crawl underneath and sleep, but you can't really do that in these seats, especially with a guy like my build. I'm going to get stuck, so... But the place looks amazing. You guys are amazing. I loved worship this morning. Worship was great. When you got a barefoot guitar player, you know it's going to be good worship. I mean, and then when she went to that one song where she hit the high note, like really high, like I wasn't with her on that. I was like,
she had Christmas socks on.
She was great, amazing. But the whole time, like the guy on the keyboard with the dreads, the whole time I sang, I almost sang with like a Jamaican accent. I couldn't lose it. I was like, it is, am on, bro. I was like, I couldn't get past the dreads in the word. Like, it was great, though. I loved it. What's with this church? You guys not like drummers? Who was the drummer?
He's back there.
Where's the drummer?
They tend to be the more prideful of the
and
band.
And he's not so even. We're like, hey, guess what? We're going to put you in the back so no one sees you. I was like, where is that drummer? Let's get some signs up. And he's not even that bad looking. Like, when I was, like, if I wanted to drum, they'd be like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and throw you back there. Like, I tried out for the worship team, and I found out they never turned my mic on, so that was upsetting. Anybody get any donuts? What's the donuts all about? What does that go towards?
Our homeless ministry, yeah.
What is it?
Our homeless ministry.
Yeah, you're going to be able to feed quite a few after I got done out there. I was like, just keep those coming. Those are great. So you guys should be able to feed a few. So, yeah, because I got fed really well. But I'm done talking. My beautiful wife's here with me. She's probably...
Well, the elephant in the room was, you know, that you weren't married.
Yeah.
And then we'd put pictures and it looked like she was photoshopped in. I mean, the question that I think most people are asking is how? Like how did this happen?
Like I tell everybody, my wife is from the Dominican Republic, and so it was a mail order program, found her on the internet. No, I'm kidding. Some of you guys are like, I'll buy that. That probably is the truth. No, we actually met in church, and it's a lot of years in church, and God's favor is what got me a good wife. I've ever since I had my first job, I tithed, so I think God's kind of like, you know what? I'm going to reward you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I never got in a lot of trouble as a kid.
So is it okay to put up there, like, this is what tithing gets you?
This is what tithing and volunteering in church gets you. I've been at the same church, volunteering under the same pastor for 30 years, and so that's what I can do. Some of you single guys are like, after church, you're going to be in the well. Like, where do I sign up to volunteer? I've never volunteered, but I'll give it a shot. So, yeah, it'll work. It'll work. But this is my beautiful wife, Eddie Pell. We've been married for 17 years. Yep. And got a couple teenage boys. I'm a good dad. 15 and 16. Yeah. So, you want to say anything? I could... probably do this all day, but I'd probably let you talk. You want to say anything?
We'll talk about, like, the last year. Talk about last June. Talk about
Okay. Kind
of what was happening. Yeah.
I'll start. Okay. So, like you said, it is well. You know, it's easy to say that when things are going great, when you got a job, when the family's healthy, when everything's... It's always well. It's so well right now with me. I love you, Lord. But then sometimes a season hits where we're like, whoa, this isn't so well. What happened? And I think that happened for us probably about a year and a half ago. So we've been married for 17 years, and my wife's always struggled with depression since she was young, from medications to different things. And we've always known and we've always fought against it. It was about a year and a half ago, and I get a call. I'm at work, and I get a call from her, and she says, "Hun, I just can't do this anymore. I don't want to be alive." And so instantly I was pulled back. I said, all right, what's going on? She's like, I got to get off this phone. I don't feel like being alive. I just can't do this anymore. And we know that we serve a good God, and we serve a God that can heal and all that stuff. But this was a reality in our life. And so as I drove home from work, I was like, I'll be right home, get home as soon as I can. And I come home to find her in the bathroom, curled up, crying. And in that moment, I didn't know what was going on. I thought... It was really scary for me because joy and happiness come so easy for me, but it didn't come easy for her. And so I sat there and I held her. We cried together. And so I said, all right, we're going to get this figured out. We're going to get it taken care of. The next day, I called the doctor and I called a psychologist, the first psychologist I found in the phone book. I call him. I said, hey, I need to get my wife in for an appointment. They said, okay, well, let me see what we can do. She said, I don't have anything available for about a week and a half. I said, I know, I need something soon. Can you find somebody? So she hangs up the phone and goes, let me see what I can do. Calls me back 5 minutes later and says, hey, the doctor has an opening. We want you to get down here right away, and I want you to know we're praying for you. She doesn't know who I am. And in the situation, I don't look at it and think, oh, okay. But as I look back at it now, I was like, okay, God was in this situation. So we get down there, Christian counselor, never met him. He walks us through some stuff and he says, he takes her in, just her, talks with her for a little bit, evaluates her. And he says, I know this is scary, but I think this is what we need. I think we're going to admit her to St. Joe's Hospital, which has a mental floor that just does evaluations, checks where people are at, especially when it comes to a suicide thing where they don't feel like they want to be alive. So he says, I can't guarantee you any rooms because this is mental health in Seattle, Washington, like everywhere else, is kind of bottom of the barrel. Here's some money for you here and there. We don't have a lot of money for it. So they have this one floor that's dedicated to mental health in the hospital, and it's has, I think, maybe 20 beds. So they said, I can't guarantee you there's going to be a spot for her, but we can see what we can do. I know some doctors down there. I'll call. We get down there. They evaluate her. I get a call from another friend that I went to high school with that is a counselor on that floor. And she says, hey, we got a room for your wife. We can get her in right away. And so I look back and I say, God, you were with me. Even though it wasn't well with me, you're still with me. You walked through this storm with me. And so we took her up to that floor. And as we walk on that floor, there's everybody just kind of sitting around. And I just was like, God, I don't know what's happening, where you're at right now. This doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. Everything's been good at home. I thought our marriage is good. Our kids are healthy. I got a job. She's got a job. What's going on, God? And so we walk in there, and this is kind of a funny thing. I look back. It's and this shows me that God's sense of humor, and God knows I like a good joke. And so we're walking into this mental floor, and this lady walks up to me and she says, hi. I said, hi. She's a patient there. And she goes, he's been here before. And I was like, who's been here before? And he's like, she has. And I was like, well, she's my wife. What do you mean? You know, like, God just put a little lady there just to have a little fun with me. And I was like, she's my, oh, okay, that's your wife. I thought it was another guy I knew. And I was like, okay, well, thank you. This was different. Thank you, God, for a little laugh. I appreciate it. Okay. But, so we get her in there, and, they say, okay, she's going to stay for a week, and she's going to have no cell phone. She can make calls every so often, but you're going to have to leave, sir. So as I walk down this hall by myself thinking, God, what is going on? I get in the car, and the first song that comes on the car is on this CD I had. Who has CDs anymore? I do. But I had this CD, and it says, I'm probably going to butcher the whole song, but it's by Hillsong. Yeah, I could sing a little bit. If I get some keys. No. It's just toxic, and he says, your love never fails. It never runs out on me. And as I sat there in that car, I just bawled and I said, God, your love will never fail me. You'll never leave her. You'll never leave me, God. It never runs out. It'll never forsake me, God. And so as we walked through this process, every day I'd go to visit her. She was stronger. She was healthier. It was hard to share with our kids, like, where's mom? And, you know, they're teenagers, so they know. And so I had to share with them, you know, here's where mom is. And she had thoughts of, you know, I'm a failure as a wife. I'm a failure as a mother, as a friend, as a daughter. Why is this happening? But, we were able to walk through the process and see that God never leaves us. He never fails us. Even when times are tough, he's always right beside us. So that's kind of how we walked through that. There's a lot more to it. I know for us, one of the things that we had a couple key things that we held on to as we walked through that is, and these are any kind of storm you're maybe walking through, you're going through in life. I don't know what it may be, but, this was one of them was, we focused on the promise and not the problem. The problem was her depression and her sadness, but God's promise is, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, and some of you guys right now maybe don't have a job, and the problem is, I don't have a job. I don't have a job at all. But the promise is, God is your provider. You know, you may be walking around sick, like something that the doctor says, hey, we don't really know what it is. The problem is, you're sick. You don't know what it is, but the promise is, I'm your healer. By my stripes, you are healed. Says it in his word. So we were able to focus on God's promises instead of the problem. And I think the other one was we continue to praise. When you continue to praise, it takes the problem off of you and it puts your focus onto God. And so every situation, whether it's just praising him and thanking him, I know sometimes in the confession of the tongue, like it's easy to, when you're sick and don't feel good, you want to let people know. You ever know those people? You're like, hey, how you doing? Still terrible. This thing's probably never going to go away. But instead, you know, people would ask, how are you doing? And she'd be like, I'm so great. Even though she didn't feel it, I'm so great. God is so good. He's so good. He's so faithful. I have joy. I have peace. And so just the confession of your tongue when you're in that problem. And so those three things we focused on, and it got us through this. We still have days where it's tough. I think when you go through a season, you're like, oh, it's over. Great. Everything's going to be great, but there's still going to be tough days. It's still going to be rough, but those are the things that we were able to help us get through it. And even, you know, when the season is rough, God's always there. I think you probably could even share some of it, how you felt there, how you got through days of, you know, you were alone every day there for 7 days by yourself. I just remember it was being so cool. I think you had your Bible and a book.
I had I had a journal and a Bible, and everything else was just taken from me. And it was a great time for just God and I to, just for me to talk to God and just to say, you know, because for so long I've taken care of my problem. I'm like, you know, I got this. I'll handle it. And it took me to the very bottom, you know, to the darkest place I've ever been in my whole, like, existence. And when I was able to rebuild the relationship, it's a relationship I've never even had with God. It's like it's hard to explain. I was at the very bottom, and then that's what got me to where I am now, and I have a relationship with God that I've never had. I mean, I'm so close to him. I encourage him in my worst days, and I still have, like Tyson was saying, really, really bad days. I wake up crying, or I go to bed crying, but I can feel a certain way, but I know the truth. I know the promise, and I speak it, and I say, you know what, God, I'm having a bad day, but You're my savior. You're my joy. I'm in the Word every day. I can't in the morning. Sorry, I'm really nervous. I'm just very emotional. But every morning I read the Word, and it's just like life breathes into me. I still have depression sometimes, but you know what? It's just something that God. Whatever storm you're going through, God, there's a reason. It's not wasted. You're suffering. There's a reason for it, and God is going to use it. And I was able to help with my situation. A lot of girls back home that were suicidal, that were depressed, I mean, maybe just suffered from anxiety. I was able to be that, you know, hope that, hey, you know what? I was there, and I was able to get out. So can you. You know, and that God walks with you. He holds your hand. Whatever you're going through, he may not feel around, like he's around, but he's around. He's right there, and he's just waiting for you to call for him. Yeah. So help me, God, help me. And boy, does he come really quickly to your rescue, yeah. Like he did me. I mean, he saved me, and Tyson and I mean, we talk about it, and we're not ashamed. But he has definitely picked me up from a very, very dark place, and I'm here now because of him. If it wasn't for him and I was the one taking care of my situation, I wouldn't be here right now. Yeah. And, you know, you can be sitting there thinking, well, how do I do this? I give it to him. Yeah. Here you go. God, try him. Yeah. I promise you. I mean, you can't go wrong. Awesome. So, yeah.
That's good. That's awesome.
I think what was really cool to see and see this all play out over time is, like she said, she really got into the Word. She was really embarrassed of depression, and like, it makes me weird. It makes me different. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. And like the Bible says, nothing is wasted. And sometimes we go through a storm and we're like, this sure feels like a waste. This doesn't feel good. I don't get what. But now that I look back on it, I've seen her with so much courage be able to speak to young ladies. I've seen young ladies reach out that says I would never reached out to anybody, and so they reach out to her. She's been able to talk to young ladies groups. She's been able to go to some other programs and speak to young ladies just about the courage you have inside you, and when you partner with God, what can happen. And so it felt like a waste at the time, but now I look back at it. Now she's got more confidence. She's bold. She can speak to this situation, and she's helping other people. And so. I love that about it, and I love to look back on it and say, God, it really wasn't, you know, there was a purpose behind everything you do. Yeah. And so I think it's pretty cool, you know, especially in this season for us, is we just get to see that what God's doing. And, you know, when it's an easy time to lose your joy and you're in a storm, that it's really, really easy to lose your focus. And when you're not in that storm, everything's great. But the minute it hits, you can lose your focus like that and forget about everything God's ever done for you. So it's great for us to be able to look back and see.
So cool. You guys stretch your hands towards Tyson and Eddie. I also want to pray for their boys, Titus and Desmond. And let's just pray for them right now. I want to do that. God, thank you so much. God, just even before they came, and just thinking of how you want to use them. God, this is just a glimpse of how you're going to use their story. And there's so many young ladies that are going to hear Eddie's story, and They're going to see strength. They're going to see hope. They're going to see restoration. They're going to see reconciliation walked out. God, I pray as teenage girls and young adults and as moms and older ladies look at her, God, that they see that. They see an example of someone whose life has been transformed, whose the enemy has fought hard against and lost. They'll see a woman who's victorious, who's more than a conqueror. All the promises that you've given us, God, they will see that as a pillar of strength and a pillar of wisdom and a pillar of hope for their situation. And God, I pray that you use their marriage, God, to be an example that people will look and say, hey, this is what we're struggling with. This is what we're going through. And they're able to speak into their marriage and say, yeah, but God could do this. Look what God has done. God is an example. It's a platform that you're giving them to change people's lives. Yes, Lord. And so, God, I pray for them. I pray that you would continue to order their steps. Speak clearly where and what situations you want them to go to. And God, I pray strength for their boys. Strength for their boys to also be able to share that story. This is what happened to my mom, and this is what happened to my dad, and look what God has done. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. And then in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. You want to tell more jokes, don't you?
Nope.
All right. All right. Check this scene out.
Then the Grinch heard a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sounded merry. But it was merry. Very. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Mr. Grinch!
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought.
Doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
What happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Ha 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 What's happening to me?
Favorite line. That's my favorite line. One step at a time. Oh my gosh. The cool thing to me about the Grinch, and so cool last night as we were just talking, and I hadn't discussed notes or anything like that. Just hearing their story again, and it's so cool to me just how things work out. But it's cool to me that in this scene, you know, the Grinch thought, I could steal Christmas. And what stopped them? What stopped him from that happening? What did he hear? The people that had their presents stolen, their Christmas stolen, were singing instead. To me, it's a picture. It's a picture for us. You know, when you read Matthew 1, and you read 18 through 25, and it's maybe familiar to you during this time of year, where we're talking about Mary and Joseph, and we're reading this story, and just because God gives you a plan doesn't mean there won't be obstacles. There will be a lot of obstacles. We tend to think, well, God said this, so watch how smooth this is going to be. And I almost go kind of the opposite. God said this, and watch. If you read anything about Herod and that king and how evil that king was and how he tried to stop what was happening, but you've all been part of plans and events when they haven't gone according to plan. You've been a part of weddings where people have passed out. That's really fun when you're the pastor doing the wedding and you're praying and the person over here locked knees and just, you know, it's happened. I've said before, and this is probably really wrong of me. It's probably way wrong of me. But I've said I wanted to be a part of a wedding where one of them didn't show up. And I don't know why. I think that would be really cool. But I don't know. I probably just revealed a lot about me, didn't I? Didn't have to be your wedding. I mean, it could be somebody else's. I don't know. I just think it'd be, I don't know. I don't mind distractions. I don't mind because here's the reality. I think we need to expect the unexpected. Amen. I mean, I think we need to be people that expect the unexpected. If you're expecting life to be perfect, I'm telling you right now, I don't want to be bearer of bad news, but you're going to be highly disappointed. Yes. And it's never at a convenient time. A flat tire doesn't happen at a convenient time. Your car doesn't break down at a convenient time. Your kids don't come in. I mean, I'm picturing your kids at the news of this is what's happening to my family. Probably not a convenient time. Probably not something they go, well, we kind of, you know, this is kind of cool. I mean, no, it was unexpected. It threw them. That's what happens. This is the story of Christmas. Peter says it this way. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Say, don't be surprised by this. At what? At how you're suffering as though something strange was happening. There's going to be moments of suffering. I'm not saying you sit around and go, is today the day I suffer? I'm not saying that. But I think we get in such a mindset where we think we're exempt. Or we think, God, if I do this, this, and this, now God will not zap me. Or if I do this, this, and this, then I'm going to be happy. If I just obey the rules, if I just do all these things, and that's not it. We need to be people that expect the unexpected. We also need to be people that trust God's sovereignty when the unexpected happens. As we, every week that we've talked, the last 2 weeks, we've talked about the word trust because I think that's very difficult for all of us. How do I trust God? Not again when life is easy, but how do I trust God when it's weird, when it's difficult? Look at Luke 1:38. An angel has just appeared to Mary. He said all of these things. She says she's terrified. She says, I mean, basically Mary's saying this is weird. And she says, I'm the Lord's servant. What's she say? May it be done. May it be to me as you have said. What's she saying? God, I don't understand this. We're so afraid to say, God, I don't understand what is happening in my life. We're trying to figure everything out. Quit trying to figure out what is happening in your life right now. It might not be for you to figure it out. But can I still say, may it be to me as you have said? Listen, what if God, in his sovereignty, I would even say this, who caused the things that are happening to Mary to be crazy? God did. Whose plan was it? Wasn't Mary's. Wasn't her husband, wasn't Joseph's. Wasn't his plan. So who caused this? So we're so afraid to go, God, is this what you want, but I don't understand it, so it can't be you. And God says, if you understand it, that it can be, then maybe you're God. If you can understand it, then that scripture that says your ways are higher, your thoughts are higher, doesn't make a lot of sense at this point. Maybe it's not for you to get. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's just for us to trust that God is sovereign. Maybe it's just for us to be people that say, may it be to me, as you have said. Hard? Absolutely. Very difficult. Last thing is follow the Lord in obedience when the unexpected occurs. You and I, me specifically, I'll admit this about me, we're big talkers. Right? We put sometimes our mouths in front. Oh yeah, we can totally do that. Yep, it's good. He's saying, I'm asking you not to talk. I'm asking you to follow. Right. Follow with what? Obedience. I'm asking you to be obedient. I'm asking you to be obedient when the unexpected occurs. Because listen, this is when we find out how we respond to things is what reveals what's really going on inside of us. Not in this moment when life is okay and you go, well, if that happens to me, I think I'll be good. I think I'll be all right. This is not the moments that we find out. We find out in moments when it does hit us and we go, whoa, I didn't expect that to happen, but God, I'm going to follow you regardless of my understanding. Listen, Christmas time specifically is a big deal. It's a big time. Right? You have a lot of traditions. We make it a big deal. I'm okay with us making it a big deal. But listen, at Christmas time, whatever it is that we're bringing into Christmas time gets exaggerated. Because it's Christmas. It's big. So if you're bringing hurt and pain, it's going to get exaggerated at Christmas. Now all of a sudden, you're Scrooge. You're the Grinch. Bah humbug. All of a sudden, you're the one that's like, I don't like this season. Why? Because it got exaggerated during Christmas. If you're bringing joy into Christmas, now you're the person that makes the Grinches mad at Christmas. You got a lot of lights outside and you got every inflatable that Walmart sold or Amazon sold. All of a sudden, you're the most tacky person in all the world. You would never put those up, but you have joy and you love Christmas and you're like, I want it to be as gaudy and as nasty as possible. I don't care. I just love Christmas. And you're watching Christmas movies in September. Some of you did that. Raise your hands right now all across this auditorium. Yes, yes, I see those hands. Yes. Might have pushed it a little bit. But why? Because you're bringing joy into it. Whatever you bring into it, it gets exaggerated. And it's okay. It's okay. We should expect the unexpected to happen to us. Listen what it says about Jesus. Although he was son, what? He learned obedience from what? From life being easy. From life going the way he thought it would go. From life being smooth sailing when I decided to come to an altar and then everything after that was awesome. No. How did he learn obedience? Through what he suffered. Yeah. You know why I like that last part, though? I wouldn't necessarily look at the dog and say, Max, I love you. I would definitely not do that. In fact, if it was me, Max wouldn't even be there. But I apologize if you're a pet person. But nonetheless, I love that line. One step at a time. You and I don't do one step at a time. We don't. We have expectations on people like, hey, you're saved now. You should be perfect. You should be good. I saw you at that altar. Someone prayed with you at the end. You should be fixed, right? The word of the Lord is one step at a time. One step at a time. Listen, my story, my life, and your story is I've learned obedience through disobedience. I've learned obedience through not going the way I thought it would go. I had a plan. From my childhood, I had a plan. And when it didn't go according to plan, I learned something totally different about who I was and what God had asked me to do. So what do you do when it's not what you expected? What do you do when life is not what you expected it to be? And I think there's a lot of things that you and I can do. We can sit back and we can shrink. We can sit back and say, I'm this or I'm that, and we play the pity card, and we do that a lot. In fact, we're really good at it. We can do those things, or we can charge ahead and say, listen, I've learned obedience from the season that I just went through, where I suffered, and it was different, and I didn't understand it, but now I feel stronger because of what God has done in my life, and I trust Him more, and I'm gaining confidence every single day as I continue to suffer. You and I, we run from suffering, and Jesus says, no, suffering is a crucial part that I like to play in us growing in obedience. I'm not asking you to sign up for the suffering small group. I'm asking you, though, that when life hits you in unexpected ways, that we don't run from it, but we learn obedience from it. That's what we do. That's huge, you guys. That's huge for us moving forward, especially when it doesn't go how we thought. And then this is the last thing. We find out if we're control freaks in that moment. I know we wouldn't admit it, but we are. It's what you just said. I could fix it on my own. Now you couldn't. Now what? Now what? When I can't fix it on my own, now what? Now what? That's my challenge to us. After hearing their story, my challenge to us is, how do we be vulnerable enough to admit what's really going on? Because I know the enemy would come and say, don't share that. You're going to get ridiculed. People are going to say stuff about you. I've already told you this, guys. People are going to say stuff about you anyway. Right. Yep. You've thought things about me already in your mind. A couple of you are nervously laughing. I heard if that's true and said anything the whole time, but I said that. That's true. That is totally true. Don't like the sweater.
I like the sweater.
Thank you. But my wife doesn't dress me. Anyway, so how do we get vulnerable to admit what's really going on? Because that's your story, Tyson. That's your story, Eddie. You hit rock bottom. You hit rock bottom. When it doesn't go according to how you thought, watch what God does. Amen? Would you guys stand with me today? Guys, I think this is I think this is a prophetic word for some of you in this room. You're going to have to praise your way out of whatever you're in right now. Not during the 15, 20, 25 minutes we have on Sunday morning. It's going to be when you leave here and you're in your car and you have a choice. What am I jamming to? What am I listening to? What am I allowing to enter into my thoughts and my minds during this season? Yeah. Guys, that's very crucial right now. Who are you allowing to influence you right now during whatever season you're going through? Because that is huge. Because who you allow to influence is what you will worship. Hear that? That is what you... So if you're choosing to praise outside of here, you'll have no problem coming in here and praising. Right? This is not just something we do 15, 20 minutes before service and say, hey, next week, come back and let's worship. This should be something that we're setting the tone and the atmosphere wherever it is that we are. You find that for you. This is about us leaving here and praising God, right? Wherever we go. Some of you, you have a little more flexibility. You could do that at work. You work from home. Set the tone, set the stage for you to be transformed. You know what we do? Man, how did they get through that so fast? How did that not seem to affect them? Their circumstance didn't even change, but yet they seemed changed, right? It said, while Paul and Silas were in prison, they worshiped. Where were they still at? They were still in prison. What do they still decide to do? Your circumstance may not change, but you change. You change. You change. You change. That's the decision you're making today. You're different. You're different out of this. Man, God, just pray. As our prayer team comes, God, just pray. The Life Community Church is a vulnerable church. Vulnerable in the sense that we're okay with being authentic and real. God, we want to be real with what's happening in our lives. And we may have to admit some things that will take a whole lot of humility, a lot less control, a lot less pride. We may have to admit it. God, I pray that we would be that place where chains and walls, things that we've built, will fall. Because we're willing to be real, to be authentic, to be radically changed. God, you're growing us from a place of suffering to a place of learning to a place of obedience. God, I pray that today for us. Whatever it is we're going through, whatever it is we're struggling with, God, I pray you meet us where we are. Look at me, everybody in this room. Hey, these people aren't here to counsel. They're here to pray with you. The beautiful promise is that you don't have to do anything before you come. Just be you. Come as you are. That's the promise. Don't have to get fixed up. Don't have to sugarcoat it. Be us. Be real. Be real. So I'm going to ask you during this time, just a couple minutes, if you need prayer for anything, these guys are available to pray with you during this time. Amen.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, your rescue begin. Come find your mercy, a child be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burden. Of your